So Rolf Ader is Mr. Tidom. So welcome. Also, we have seen the Tickle presentations, and in 2000 there was Mr. Löwer, who was original creator of Tidom, and at this time I still remember that he was really proud of the high performance. So he was employed by HP, and he said, "Well, all other libraries are just crap. Tidom is the fastest XML parser you ever seen." So that was 24 years ago. So, and still alive, thanks to Rolf.
So, hello to you. As Harald already said, this isn't really new work. In the most part of it, it isn't really new work. But we already had it this day. Jason is still growing up in the wild. More often has to deal with Jason. And so they asked me to introduce this to you. Perhaps it's a tool more in your toolbox if you need it. I, in fact, wrote it 4 or 5 years ago because I had to process JSON data. I had to request a product data system that had a REST API and spooled out megabyte sizes of JSON, and I had to process that data. At that point, 4 or 5 years ago, there wasn't much alternatives in the Tickle world for processing JSON. A few script approaches, way too slow, and not taking care about JSON data types. So I decided to integrate the JSON path and the JSON handling into what I already had, Tidom. So that's for introduction. So because it is not a new thing, it's an old thing, I can start with a status page. It follows the current request for comment for JSON and claims to parses any valid JSON, which in fact is fully true only if you use Tickle 9 because of encoding glitches you didn't get with Tickle 8. And the full Unicode support from Tickle 9, which you also didn't add with Tickle 8.6. What I do preserves all JSON data types, including the simple names. If you parse JSON and serialize it with Tidom, this is a full round. No information will be lost other than the formatting, which isn't really information. Saying this in no information is lost includes even duplicate object members. If you work with JSON, then you have maybe a question mark on your head. How could it be that a JSON object has two members with the same name? Sounds strange, but the request for common still has the request you to not do, but it's only a you should not. It is, if you, it doesn't say, the specification doesn't say you must not, they only say you should not. There is, in fact, well, that's the only use case I know. It can be used for documentation. Imagine you have a complex JSON object. Then you can use the first instance of your member name and write a documentation string. What does this element data mean? And actually only the second member with that name brings the actual data. This is the only use case I know for this really strange feature, but that is as a side. In fact, Tidom even presides, even preserves the order of the elements in your objects. So it is surely much faster than any script approach, no doubt. I did some measurements some years ago, and it was quite fast. JSON parsers is an area there's a lot of work going on. I think there will be solutions out there being actually faster, I think, especially because during parsing, I'm building up a complete doom tree from the JSON data, and there is, of course, simpler way to have the storage backend than a fully doom tree. So it is somewhat limited in what it is possible in speed, but believe me, it's actually quite fast. You can, depending on your machine, of course, parse hundreds and hundreds of kilobytes JSON in a second. In fact, on a modern machine, you get in the megabyte range. You can parse with that in a second. Well, there is even a bit more. You have pretty nice patterns to use and read and work with the data. It isn't a task useful by itself to parse something. You want to do something with the data, of course. There is a really nice ticklish pattern to create JSON data from the scratch. At least I think it is a really nice ticklish pattern. I'm quite proud of it. We come to that later. Okay. Hey, that's JSON. I'm sure you have seen that already. So from a distance, if you look at JSON from a distance, it's just nested data. So that's the connection to XML. XML already is just nested data. So that's what's the key that makes it possible to match these two things in one binary library. What this is not, and it is important to say this because some people, the few people that tried to took this over had a misconception. This is not about JSON to XML conversion or such thing. Such a conversion is in practice even useful or sensible typically. Well, you can of course imagine some translation, but this is no real problem, at least not to my knowledge. This is just, you have JSON data, are able to parse it with TDOM, you can access the data, you can create JSON from the scratch with TDOM, and you create serialized output JSON data. And you have another, as Harald told, decades, you can pass XML data, access, modify, create from scratch, and serialize as XML. So this is just another input format for the backend, for the Doom tree and all the methods working on and with the Doom tree. It is typically senseless if you have parsed some XML to serialize that with the sjson method. It will be work, but there will be nonsense as a result. The other way around, it's a bit more sensible. So you see how the Doom tree of the parsed JSON looks like. So you can see there from there how to navigate inside the tree and how to gather the data. Okay, how you do it? How do you do it? If you have even worked with TDOM, this looks pretty natural to you. The only thing you have to do is to add the flag -json, and then use a JSON data string, and then you get a Doom object out of there. At the moment, this thing just parses strings. The parsing of XML, you can also parse directly from a channel. This is not possible for the JSON at the moment. JSON is strict UTF-8, and it must be valid UTF-8. With TCL 8.6, this could not be easily at least checked. We had that encoding problems. These encoding problems are gone with TCL 9. So if you have the problem that maybe the JSON data is wrongly encoded and you have to catch that, you have to use TCL 9 to get that errors. Other than this major option, minus JSON, to signal I want to parse JSON data, there are other JSON-related DOM parse options added. The minus JSON root, we come to this in a moment, and the minus JSON max nesting. This is, the default value is 2000. JSON is nested. It's a recursive parser, so it has its limit. So if you have an endlessly nesting JSON document, there will come a point the thing blows up into your mind because the stack limit is reached. But typically, I never have seen in real life a real JSON document, a real JSON data nesting deeper than few tens of levels at maximum. If you have a JSON data nesting 2,000 levels deep, it's pretty possible that this is simply just a syntax error in the input, and you want just an error message because this isn't really sensible at all. So, okay, there is a difference between JSON and XML. XML is single rooted always. You have always a single root element and then a tree under it. In contrast to that, JSON is in some kind a forest. Look at the JSON example, a simple object with a few members. If you parse that and serialize that as XML to see what the DOM tree likes, you see you have not one single root element, you have all that members as single root elements. The document node has the JSON type object. We come to the JSON type in a moment. The TDOM DOM model handles these forests pretty well, in fact. You can all that calls you use to process XML data also at the document element. So you can all that first level child nodes with the method child nodes, or you can even the XPath method select nodes on the document element. The typical pattern, if you have used TDOM with XML, you know that the document element gave you the single root element. This isn't much sense for much. Doesn't make much sense in this scenario. But if you prefer not to change your mental models, there will be help. There is this already mentioned minus JSON root option. You see there left in green. If you give that, then there will be a single document element root inserted as you give it in the option in your DOM tree. So you can stick with the mental model you maybe already have while using and working with XML data. There is even a bit more. You see such a typical JSON data on the left side. This is an array with two objects as members. And you see the parsing inserts object container, and the root will be from JSON type array. So please note the inserted container elements, as I called them. These object container elements and array container elements are inserted during the parsing to group that arrays and array elements and object members. You can think about that containers as the open curly braces and the open H braces. Look back, you see, in fact, the syntax of JSON uses these elements. You can think of these element names as dead ones. I could have chosen these these syntax parts of JSON as the elements. In fact, this would be possible, but that has a bit under consequences would make expressions on that DOM nodes a bit more convoluted. If you think there is a problem, if you have an object with a member name object container or array container, and this will be conflict, just believe me, I'm telling you, it will not be a problem because of internal type management. We come to this. And if you really dislike the names, but eager to use that, then you can even at build time choose your own names for that container elements. Okay, let's come to an important point. If you look from a distance, as I said, to JSON, it's just nested data, but it is not only nested data, JSON is typed. JSON has the structure types, object and array. We already had that. They are mapped into container elements. And then they have data types, strings, numbers, the Boolean values, true and false, and the null symbol. This means for JSON, the string with the double quotes, thanks. The string with the double quotes, 1.23, is something else than the number 1.23. This is a problem for Tickle with his ignorance to data types. So, as already said, TDOM handles JSON types pretty well. This is done in the created DOM tree with an additional property hanging at every single created node, providing that JSON data type. So you parse it, you get a DOM tree. Every node of that DOM tree knows its JSON type. And if it comes to serializing that, the serializer also can get the JSON data type of every node and do the right thing while writing the JSON. Okay, you can even inspect or set this additional DOM node property with the method JSON type. You can even validate your JSON data if you, by post-validating the resulting DOM tree. The TDOM schema language has special text constraint commands for the JSON data types. Just as illustration, I won't stress this much. All that thing isn't JSON related. You can that all thing on do at XML as well, of course. Left on the left side above, there is the schema definition for this really simple object. There are just in a ticklish nested way the definition of what is expected as data. You have as second member, there is a member named a number, and this should be of JSON type number. You see two different examples of JSON. The first one has, in fact, a number. The second one has a string. If you validate the resulted parsing, the parsing result, you see the first one is okay, the second one is not okay, not according to the schema definition. Just to show that, I won't stress this. Parsing data isn't a useful thing for its own. You do it to use the data. After you have passed the JSON data, you get back a DOM tree, a DOM document. And this is an ordinary DOM document, basically completely the same as you get if you pass XML data, you get a DOM document. You can do anything what you can do on a DOM tree passed from XML with a DOM tree passed from JSON. You can navigate through the tree, you can access the nodes, you can get the child nodes or something else. Especially you can use the select node method. The select node method is expect an XPath expression. You can do any kind of XPath selection on your Doom tree that you get from the JSON parsing. So XPath, the XPath engine in 2D was a bit extended for using with JSON data. Perhaps you have seen some XPath expressions. It's some kind of navigation expression language. I should have provided an example. So you have that as identifiers, element names. You can go like a disk file system with slashes. So go take me to the first product element, and then put me the third attribute element, and then put me the seventh feature attribute element. So such things you can formulate with XPath expressions. But the syntax of XPath has some limiting. The element names are not allowed to have spaces, for example, or other strange characters. If in JSON there are almost no restrictions on object element names, you can have all kind of wacky element names in theory. Haven't seen this in practice, but anyway, you have to handle it anyhow. So, for example, you can have object element, object member names, wacky object member name with spaces in it. To use that in an XPath expression, you can write, as I did in the example, the name in a particular variable, and reference that variable in the XPath expression with the percent sign. And the XPath expression parser will reference that to the variable name. So you can have any kind of element names which are not allowed and thinkable in XML. You can that have in the Doom documents from passed from JSON. I better skip more details and show a simple example. This is some random JSON data. Typically JSON data, at least what I have seen so far, is structured mass data, typically. So you have get all kind of raw data from a REST server, and then you have to process it. So this is a simple example. The first line, you pass that JSON from the left into a Doom document. And then you access the data, you select all object containers, that this means all that codes result in one object container. Then you get the code data, then you, with an XPath expression, then you get the name data, you can do anything with it, put it in the database, put it out, or something else. I think it's really trivial, but may give an impression how this is done. Well, sometimes you need to write JSON data. If you have a Doom tree, a JSON Doom tree, then just use the method as JSON. This has two options. You can indent it, and then it's kind of nice depending of the JSON. And you can, in fact, write the output of your serialization directly into a tickle channel. Now, the other way around. Often, or at least it happens that you have to create JSON from the scratch, your application have to generate JSON. Imagine you are writing a REST service and you have to do it as the Romans do, and everyone expects that your REST service is returning some JSON data. So you have to create JSON from the scratch. Or the other way around, this is maybe the much more often case. You want to ask a REST service for some data. Typically, you have to send some small JSON which has the request and get some big JSON data with the answer. Or with small JSON data yet. Okay, but also the question to the REST service has to be JSON data. If this is just a small piece of JSON data, it is tempting to create that JSON string with string methods. So as a simple example, use subst or so. With all these methods, they suffer from the injection problem, the really known injection problem. So in that example I gave, what is when this tickle variable name has the value foo, double quote bar, thanks. Then the JSON you create will be invalid syntactically. It has to be escaped. If you build up your JSON strings with string methods, you have to be careful and do your escaping on your own. Otherwise, there may be the famous data-driven bugs lurking for you. Okay. If you build up your JSON with TDOM, this doesn't happen. JSON does the escaping automatically for you while serializing. Okay, now how it is actually done. It is possible to create a DOM JSON tree from scratch with basic DOM methods. I've given a short example. This is using all the, in fact, standardized DOM method calls. They are provided by TDOM. You have there an example that you set the JSON type of some text node or so. This is tedious. Time for me? Okay, then let's skip that. What is the wrong way? Let's go to the right way. Use the append from script method. This is the same as with XML, and is much more clever. Since Harald's standing beside me, I skip over this and show you that example. Create once. Typically, you have in XML. This is more common. So thinking in vocabularies, but even JSON typically has a vocabulary. So the JSON data isn't free in the member names or something else, and in the structure, you have to have exactly these member names of the objects, and you have at that place to have an array or something else. Even JSON has a vocabulary. You create with that commands the vocabulary, and then you create the JSON data in a way, as it looks like the way. Yeah, you see the output, I have put it there, that you see it is just line by line. You have here, you can use any tickle commands. In this script, you give create the append from script method or so. So let me stress this. You can create your JSON in your source code as it looks like then as serialized. The argument to append from script is an ordinary tickle script. So you can, inside your creation, do anything. You can have loops, you can read files with data, you can database queries and use the result to fill in the objects or so. You can factor out parts of your JSON production to other procs. The wiki has a more example, more elaborate example. Okay. Obviously, I said too much.
Voll fade. All hands up. Georg.
So you say you extended the XPath parser to allow for these wacky strings. Is this only for JSON XPath parsing,
no,
or is it for both?
This would work also for XML.
Does this create some problem for XML parsing?
Pardon?
Wouldn't this create some problem for XML parsing?
No, definitely not. I can explain that in detail to you. But I think Harald will kill me if I do this. So you are bound to believe me. This for sure won't create any problem for XML parsing. In fact, it is an additional, seldom, but an additional feature also for XML selecting. It's not parsing, it's selecting data in the DOM tree. It's the same thing as you can with TDOM. I had this in one slide, I slipped through. You have the problem of inserting strings into XPath expressions. It's the same thing as you have the problem to insert strings in SQL expressions. And this is there is also a syntax for that. If you have a tickle variable reference, then at that place the value of the tickle variable will be inserted in the XPath expression, and there is no quoting problem. There's no SQL injection problem. And this is the same as this string injection into XPath with element name injection.
Josu.
So what you are building with this parser is going to be able to read and write with types, similar to what you will call a TypeScript with JavaScript?
Not familiar with it, I can't answer that question.
Yeah, it's a typed kind of a language based on JavaScript, but in this case, you will be able to avoid inserting values, or what's going to happen if I try to add a string in a number node type?
You have the freedom to add a string, or you have the freedom to say this should be a number. This is the problem with Tickle. Tickle, without his data types, has a problem with that. You create a DOM tree. The DOM tree is a structure, and this structure has additional information. You can get that information. You can know from every node, can you get the JSON type, so that you know, is this false? Just a string false, or is this false, the Boolean value false? You can know that. And if you go the other way around, if you create that, you have the freedom to decide, will this be a string, or will this be a Boolean value, or a number? And the serialization will respect this and do the right thing.
And it will be an option to validate that the node is a specific type, to validate and say, okay, this node should be Boolean.
I have shown you an example, the value example. Yes, you can validate that, and you can distinct between string and number. Even if you don't see a difference, if you put it out, it will look exactly the same, but inside it knows it is a number or it is a string. It knows it, and you can check for it.
Perhaps you remember last year, Rolf has presented the schema verification stuff.
Two years ago, I think.
2 years, okay, sorry. I don't know, but
yeah.
Amazing work, again, wizard work, and I think that was extended to also support JSON. Yeah. Andreas?
Not really a question, just a note. You mentioned the performance and the megabyte per seconds. If you want to go into speed demon territory, you look up Daniel Lemire. He's a professor in Canada, in Montreal, and he has created a JSON parsing package using SIMD instructions, vector instructions, and that goes into the gigabytes per second range.
Okay. So I'm beat it, okay. I pack my things and go.
maybe you want to have a look and integrate it basically as a possibility.
I think the major problem is building up the DOM tree. This is only a small fraction. Parsing itself is a small fraction. Building up the data structure in the backend, keeping the data, is, from what I have measured, is the much bigger problem. So I wouldn't gain, of course, something, but not really boost.
Any more questions?
Oh, question machines out there.
Andreas?
So, hello, I'm going in on you. On the first few slides, you said that the channel option is not implemented for JSON. Is there some principal problem with that, or is it just not yet done?
There is, of course, not a principal problem. You don't ask me to travel faster than lightning speed. But it needs some hard work. Okay, do you have, now with Tickle 9, do you have such big JSON data ranging in the hundreds of gigabytes that you can't suck into your application? But okay, this is an omitment. This is, of course, I'm the main user of this. There are a few people, only a few people, having picked this up. Nobody came to me with the request. More than it would be fine, but it is needed for him. So if you come to me and make me believe that you really need it, then I will look into it.
I haven't had XML files of that size either. So apparently, they do exist. So I just thought that if there is some result problem, like XML being more line oriented. If you read XML from a channel, you don't slurp in the whole file.
Just chunk by chunk.
Chunk by chunk.
Of course.
Okay, so for example, for JSON, if you have, you can have a forest, you could, for example, read each tree of the forest.
There is a simple implementation way, but it would be slow down the JSON parsing because you have to look at every place for the end of the chunk. You sprinkle sprinkle checks for end of the chunk over your whole parsing code to suck in the next chunk. It's ugly and makes it slower. I had no need for it, so I left it out.
Okay, thank you. Online questions.
Yeah, there was one online question by Nathan.
Okay.
Actually, two questions, but I just relay one. The other one is offline then for you.
okay.
Any ideas on pairing TDOM and SQLite?
Yeah, I had thought about that thing. I'm not sure in which context he asked this, but to persistent Doom trees by the means of SQLite, I think, or I guess, is the question. I, in fact, have thought about that, and it would be a nice feature, but it's only a nice feature for playing. In my practical work, I really didn't need it at some place. It sounds compelling, but I miss the use cases.
So, thanks for the favor.
Danke.
Rolf Ade.